From Variety, celebrating more than 115 years covering the business of entertainment, this is the Award Circuit Podcast.
It definitely is a different movie. It's a different feel when you leave the theater. I appreciate everybody saying nice stuff to me. I've had a great life and a lucky life, so everything's okay either way. But it's exciting. People talking about this stuff, and it's funny, and it's, I get why it's funny, thinking of me as a regular actor man, thinking, you know, like being a talk in this world. It's fun. It's just different. It's funny. It's different for me.
Adam Sandler knows you're used to seeing him ham it up on screen for laughs, which is why his most recent shift to the dramatic side, including his most recent film Hustle, might be a bit jarring for fans. I'm Clayton Davis. On this episode of the Variety Award Circuit Podcast, we talk to Adam Sandler about Netflix's Hustle, as well as whether he'll return to host Saturday Night Live anytime soon, and if a sequel to The Waterboy might be in the offing. It's all next on this edition of the Variety Award Circuit Podcast. Stay close. Adam Sandler received some of his strongest reviews of his career for his performance in Netflix's Hustle, which dropped on the streaming platform back in June. The actor and producer has always seemed like an easy target for critics to unload. However, Sandler has never pretended to be anything more than who he is. A guy who loves movies and loves making them with his friends. Directed by Jeremiah Zagar and written by Taylor Matern and Oscar nominee Will Fetters, Hustle tells the story of Stanley Sugarman, a basketball scout who discovers a streetball player and sees the potential for him to get into the NBA.
You love this game. I mean, love it with your whole heart. Because if you don't, let's not even bother. Let's not open that door. They're just going to slam it right in our face. I love this game. I live this game. And there's 1,000 other guys waiting in the wings who are obsessed with this game. Obsession's going to be talent every time. You got all the talent in the world, but are you obsessed? Is it all you ever think about? Let's face it, it's you against you out there. When you walk on that court, you have to think, I am the best guy out there. I don't care if LeBron's playing. So let me ask you again. Do you love this game?
Yes.
Is there a newborn kitten purring in here right now? I couldn't hear you. Do you want to be in the NBA?
Yes!
Well, let's make that happen. Never back down.
On the film award season premiere of the award-winning Variety Award Circuit Podcast, Sandler sits down to discuss his performance in the Netflix sports dramedy, Hustle. He discusses the awards buzz surrounding his role, if we'll ever get a full-length album of his music, and the type of movie he's dying to make. The answer just might surprise you. We began by talking about his longevity in the business.
The hip is new.
Yeah.
So the hip's probably about a month old today.
Hips don't lie. It's what happened, man.
That's right, man. My other hip's lying a lot, but this, the new hips, it don't lie at all.
What happened when you found out you needed hip surgery? Did you were like, damn, am I at that moment in time?
It's not one you like saying out loud. I get a lot of stares on, what happened? Why the cane? And then you say hip surgery, and people are like, how old is Adam Sandler? 79 or something? But Yeah. I'm glad the surgery's done. I was living with a walking crazy for probably a year and a half, and I did everything I could to try to not have the surgery, and now I did it. I don't feel my ass 100% yet, but that'll come back, they say, in about 3-4 years.
All right. I enjoy.
The numbness?
I look forward to that part of my life. Listen, man, we're here for a lot of reasons, but mostly because you decided to bring a very interesting man to life, Stanley Sugarman, in the film Hustle.
Yes.
One of your best performances of your career in a long line of very, very amazing performances.
Thank you.
So it's always good to start. Like, how'd you get involved and what made you want to bring this one to the screen?
Well, I think what happened, LeBron's company and Joe Roth's company brought the script to us, and I about a scout discovering somebody overseas, and the basketball of it all, and the NBA of it all, and everything was exciting to me because I just, you know, big fan of the NBA, big fan of basketball, and I love coaching. I love seeing behind the scenes stuff there. It's always exciting. So I connected with the idea.
And, you know, so there's a lot of great, I mean, listen, and you're a New York born good man. That's why I like you so much.
Because
we recognize.
We know we both are Knicks fans. Is that what it is?
I take my beating with that. I tell people that, like, every time someone complains to me about some team, I'm like, I know pain because I saw Patrick Ewing walk off.
Oh.
No ring on finger.
Oh, yeah.
John Starks.
But nothing was better than when Ewing would score in the Garden. You'd hear, Patrick Ewing. Nothing was cooler.
You know, and it's just, yeah. So the Knicks, one day they'll get it together. But but now, you know, you were born in Brooklyn. You came up in this industry.
Yeah.
And it's always good for, I think, listeners to hear what was the spark. What was it that tipped you off? You said, yeah, I'm going to Hollywood. I'm going to go be something there.
That's funny. I've told this before, but I loved comedy always growing up as a kid. My father, my family, we all loved Jerry Lewis, Abbott and Costello, Rodney Dangerfield. I loved Eddie Murphy. I just saw all that stuff that you grew up in the house talking about. Cheech and Chong, everybody. Bob Newhart had all these records that we used to listen to. And I was into comedy, but I never thought of this as something I was going to do. And I was in little plays as a kid. I was in Oliver and stuff. I was, you know, I never had a big part. I always had like one line and stuff, but I kind of liked that world. West Side Story, I was Baby John when I was like in ninth grade. I had maybe five lines or something. And it was fun. It was exciting. I always was playing a lot of sports growing up, so I tended to do that more. And then I was in a rock band. I was in a high school band always. I was in that, you know, I was in like five different rock bands growing up. So I thought that was more my world.
Are you the Diana Ross of the Supremes of this band? So you end up making it and everyone else got left behind?
I don't know. No, they're all good players. The guys I grew up in New Hampshire where they all can jam. But I ended up doing a different route because I don't know what happened was I was filling out college applications and then it said, what's your major? What do you want to major in? And I didn't really know. And I asked my brother and he said, you should be an actor. And I said, oh, okay. He goes, yeah, you're like Eddie Murphy. You should do that kind of thing. And I said, yeah, great. And then my brother mentioned there's a stand-up comedy. He was going to Boston University. He said there's a club around there that they have open mic nights. Come do a set. And so he got me 5 minutes, and I wasn't any good, but I kind of got addicted to it after I went up there.
So did you kill that night? Or
no.
No.
Terrible. Terrible. But driving back after with my brother, we were talking about it. Because I didn't write anything, jokes. I just thought I could go up there and talk. And, you know, I was young and I didn't really know that world. I only saw a couple of comedians live before that. I saw Rodney Dangerfield when I was in high school. And then when I was a kid, my parents took me to two comedy shows as a kid. I just all of a sudden I can't remember who they were, but it was like at the Neville in the Catskills. Mm-hmm. I saw a comedian there and I loved them. And then I saw one other guy when down in Florida at like the Fountain Blue. I remember it was somebody. I saw Donald O'Connor dancing, and I think was it Steve Lawrence maybe singing, but there was a comedian that went on first. It was Eddie Fisher I saw, not Steve Lawrence, Eddie Fisher, and there was a comedian. Anyways, I loved it. I loved seeing it. And so when I went on stage that night and I was driving back, even though I did bad, I kind of like talked to my brother about it. And he's just like, you got to just work on it. And I said, yeah, let me get good at that. I think that was the first thing I said. I just kind of locked in and said, let me get as good as I can be at something.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Do you remember the first movie you saw as a kid that like blew you back and that you were like, this is
awesome? Yeah. It's a few of them. I remember when I saw Paul Newman. I saw Paul Newman and Robert River. What the hell's the name of the movie when they sing Raindrops?
Oh,
but is yeah,
Butch Cassidy
and Sundance Kid. I think that was the first time I stayed twice in a row at a movie theater. I watched it. I was with my friend, maybe Billy Dow or I think Mark Higgins or one of these kids I grew up with, and we were both like, that was the greatest movie. Oh my God. And we went to the payphone and called our parents and said, can we watch it again? And we stayed twice in a row. And I think that kind of knocked me out, that movie. And then comedy wise, I think Young Frankenstein or, Mel Brooks stuff, Airplane, stuff like that as a kid made me just go, wow, look at this theater go. They laugh. I remember I saw Rodney Dangerfield in Back to School, maybe, mm-hmm. and hearing an audience scream at his jokes and actually scream out, yeah, Rodney, to a screen that he's not even there, just a screen version of him. I was just like, this is unbelievable, man. So I kind of started locking in that.
I always get really embarrassed. My first Rodney Dangerfield movie, I think, was Ladybugs.
Still some funny stuff in Ladybugs.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So problematic, though, today.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it is trouble. You're right.
I was getting ready to show it to my daughter, and she was, like, not interested. And she walked away. And then when she walked away, I was like, oh, I think it's good she walked away because this is super inappropriate.
I try not to
be that dad, though. I'm like, you can watch whatever you want. Her favorite movie is, like, Scream. So I'm like,
that's cool. How old is she?
11.
That's cool. Yeah. She can handle Scream.
She loves horror. I showed her Stephen King's It, the Tim Curry version. That scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
And I showed her The Shining. And Chomp
Unbelievable.
Didn't budge.
Like, really?
She was like, why did you think that was scary? And I was like, get away from me, man. And I was like,
that's so funny. What we thought was scary doesn't scare him. But The Shining, so funny. 2 weeks ago,
yeah.
My two daughters watched it. One couldn't handle it. But was forced to watch it. They're just like, no, we're not turning it off. She's like, oh my God, and texting me, please, Daddy, make them stop. And then, but my 16-year-old was texting and just, Jack Nicholson's my favorite actor now. I've never seen anything like this. And she loved The Shining so much.
Oh, man, good. Yeah. One thing that's always interested me about your career, and something that I did a lot when I was younger as well. Like, you know, you want to make these like movies with your friends. Like you love movies and you want to make it with your friends, and you're still doing that today, which I find amazing and admirable because like you're still, I feel, Adam Sandler today that you were then. Like you didn't let Hollywood corrupt the soul, if you put it that way. And I think people expect, you know, I say people, I mean like snobby critics. I'm not gonna put myself in that category. They expect you to, you know, become Daniel Day-Lewis, like, you know, eventually. And you're like, no, I'm not. That doesn't interest you, nor should it. We don't need everyone to be a Daniel Day-Lewis. We need Adam Sandler's. What do you say to stuff like that?
Thank you for saying that. I mean, if I was as good as Daniel Day-Lewis, I'm sure maybe I'd be trying his path.
I do want to see your There Will Be Blood, though. I think that would be actually pretty awesome.
I'd be a lot goofier. But I think I like working hard. I like being around my friends who work hard. Mm-hmm. We push each other. And try to do stuff like Hustle was a brand new vibe for us. And we were excited around the office. And everybody who works their ass off. Every one of my movies where somebody has made light of it or not. And you know, when you write about it, there's 1,000% effort that goes into it. And we work until we believe in it. But this Hustle... We got a great team. The director, Jeremiah, unbelievable taste, unbelievable thought process, different than anything I've been a part of. Mm-hmm. And he had a similar work ethic where he just 100% about the movie while making it. Mm-hmm. And it was just a different feel for us. And but we were, every one of us who've been making comedies for so long got excited about making this type of movie.
That's awesome. One thing that I definitely want to give you props for, and like, maybe you don't do it intentionally, but it's happening in almost all of your movies that you're producing, that you're making. Diversity is a part of all your movies, like without making it a talking point. Like one of the things I argue so much in this world about, you know, people are like, you know, I fight for diversity, but people are like, I don't want just roles, like it's specifically like a Latino from a Latino area. Like people can just be.
Right.
So, you know, you and Queen Latifah are just you and Queen Latifah in the movie. It's not rested upon that you're black and white.
Right, right.
And you've done that a lot in your movies, and it's something I've loved and appreciated.
That's great. Good, good. Yeah, well, Queen Latifah, mm-hmm. that's just I know Queen Latifah forever, and the part was a nice part, and it was about being close with somebody, and I just know her for so long, and she's always made me happy and such a warm soul, and we've always said we'd like to do something together, so this was perfect. Felt nice.
Two times I've met you in person over the years, both surrounded Uncut Gems. Which I did a list to celebrate A24's 10-year anniversary of their 30 best movies. And I had it listed. When I say I got so much crap that it wasn't one or two, it was very passionate.
You gotta be careful.
You have a passionate base that feels like you're on the Paul Giamatti level of like, I can't believe he didn't get an Oscar nom for that.
That's funny.
How does this run for Hustle? Because people are pulling for you again now, because people are bringing up those same feelings of like, guys, when are we going to get to the Sandler moment? How does this compare to that time then?
It definitely is a different movie. Mm. It's a different feel when you leave the theater. I appreciate everybody saying nice stuff to me. I've had a great life and a lucky life, so everything's okay either way. But it's exciting, people talking about this stuff, and it's funny, and it's, I get why it's funny, mm-hmm. thinking of me as a regular actor man, thinking, you know, like being a talk in this world. It's fun. It's just different. It's funny. It's different for me. But that Gems, that was quite a moment. It was talked about wherever I went on the streets, and people talking to me about, you know, the Oscar stuff, or the movie, or the ending, or the Safdies, or it's just that movie definitely changed the topic of me.
Yeah. As we look at the Oscars and look at the future, obviously, like, ratings have been a big topic of conversation, and a lot of people believe if you get the Adam Sandlers to the ceremony, you get things, movies that a lot of people have seen to the ceremony, more people will watch. What do you see as something that the Oscars can do to like get people excited about it again? Because for me, I love it, but I also see two genres get the shaft all the time, comedy and horror, because people are pearl-clutching on what is quote-unquote cinema.
Would be fantastic to include those two. Mm. Would be amazing. That should happen. I bet it will happen. You're right. There's horror movies and comedies that you just go, how the hell did that happen? How did they come up with that? That's the most interesting version of that type of movie of the year. Why shouldn't that be celebrated? So, of course, I don't know what's going to help ratings. I wouldn't know that world. I'll tell you, I don't remember as a kid watching the Oscars and just, I think the reason you watched it was like a family event. People were just excited to see a bunch of movie stars and talk and just see them. And now it's a little deeper than that. People talk about the work a lot. I don't even remember talking about the work. I was just like, wow, there's Paul Newman. That's cool, man. He's sitting near, you know, another famous guy. I wonder what they're talking about. As a kid, and as a viewer, I think that's all I cared about. But now, I have no idea why.
I know my house, they throw it on just to, because it's a fun night.
Yeah. All right. What do you say to this time that we're in where, you know, the lines are blurred between movies and television? Because, you know, we have streamers, people have always used the hot phrase, you know, theaters are dying, movies are dying. I don't believe that. I don't think you do either.
No.
But there is a way that we are trying to learn how to coexist. So right. Do you have any advice, or what do you think we are coexisting? Do you think, like, we're trying to figure it out still?
I think it's slowly coexisting more and more. I went to this theater right down the street here and watched a movie, Blonde, the other night with my wife and daughter, and it was great being in the theater. Mm-hmm. And it was fun being, sitting back, eating too much popcorn, mm-hmm. and just having a night at the movies. Nothing better than that. That's a guaranteed fun night out. But my other daughter was home that night and watched, I think, some other movie that was also in the theaters, but also streaming. And she said, hey, I want to stay home and watch the same movie streaming wise. So it's cool that people can watch it any way they want to.
Gives them options.
Yeah, good options. Good options. Is it more fun to go to a theater? For me, yeah.
I have even right now.
Even right when now. I'm limping around, it's exciting that I made it into a chair and was able to sit for an hour without my feeling my ass.
I've also subscribed to the theory. A lot of our renowned comedians, I'm putting you in this boat as well, that you're so good at comedy because when you take on drama, like you're digging into something that no one like can really dig into. I always feel like the best performances come from people who are considered hardcore comedians. Yourself, Jim Carrey.
Oh yeah.
Like He's Eternal incredible. Sunshine.
Yeah.
Like, you know, your dramatic outings that you've done, in particular Punch Drunk Love, Uncut Gems, we ride this line of like it's a funny or not. I remember you and Men, Women and Children. It was a big reach. And I think you do consciously pick and choose when to do it, or you just kind of have to feel compelled?
I think what happens is I don't call my agents and say, now is the time. Let's get one that's serious or more serious. I think it just kind of, ideas are around, something happens, a great director calls me up and talks to me about something that they want to do, and that happens. And then with Hustle, it was just complete luck. It was luck. I was watching, I think I talked about this before, but it was the pandemic. I was talking to Ted Sarandos. I said, any movies you think I should watch on Netflix? He said, watch We the Animals. I watched We the Animals. I was like, holy shit, this movie's incredible. Shot incredible. The story was incredible. And then unbelievable.
It's a great movie.
And I called and I said, let me get a hold of this guy, Jeremiah, the director. And we talked, and we were talking about another movie. And then I said, just so you know, I have this script, that an idea I wanted to work on about a scout and finding somebody overseas. And he goes, oh, send it to me. And then we both had a similar feel to it, like this could be exciting. And then we both started jamming and over Zoom or whatever it was, you know, something on the computer, Skype. And then it became a passion project. So I kind of luck into these moments.
Just waiting for your next one, man. Just like, feel free to do it whenever you want.
Thank you.
I give you full permission.
I appreciate it. I look forward to it too. It's cool.
So you got a very popular sequel coming up, Murder Mystery.
Yes.
Part 2. Yes. One, what can you tell us about it? I'm sure you can tell me everything about it.
Jennifer Aniston's better than me in it. I'll give her that.
But are there any other movies you would do sequels to from your filmography? And I have one I'm going to ask you to do when you're done. I just want you to know
that. You have an idea?
Because I saw the beginnings of it in real time, and I was very upset. Huh. Uncut Gems, first time I met you, yeah. National Board of Review.
Yeah.
You said, and you screamed to Kathy Bates, who was in the room,
oh.
Waterboy, it's right there.
I mean, we could do it. That would be fun as hell. I love Mama. Mm-hmm. I love Henry Winkler. I mean, come on.
You just did a Q&A with him, and it was great.
Oh, I just did. Yeah, he's always gonna be Coach Klein to me. But I don't know, man. It's funny. I don't know what the idea is. I'll be honest with you. About 2 months ago, or a month ago, or something, when Will Zalatoris, maybe a month ago or something, he won a tournament, and he looked, you know, when he was younger, he doesn't really look like my caddy, but it's like a joke that he looks like the Happy Gilmore caddy. I did go, my God, would that be fun to do the senior tour of Happy Gilmore and hang out with all those guys and try to write a great script about Happy as an older guy and having to calm down his temper and all that stuff. But I never know. Maybe one day something like that.
What directors would you like to work with but you haven't had the shot to with yet?
Oh, that's great, man. I just get excited when I meet some of these guys that make great movies. I don't know. I've been getting to hang out with some great guys. Let's see. Who would it be? Yeah.
You should do Heat 2, Michael Mann.
That'd be sick. Love Michael Mann. I don't know. There's a bunch of great directors. I don't know.
Nobody off the top of your head.
Todd Field. We just talked the other day about something. He's a great guy. I know him for many years. We'll see. I don't know. I don't even think about it that much. When I meet any director that I love their stuff, you know, I get excited that I met him. But I don't really think about making movies with them. I get more excited that. To tell them what I love about their work.
Touching emotional question for you.
Yes.
People have been very, very impressed by your guitar and singing abilities over the years, especially the Chris Farley song.
Mm-hmm.
And then just also your love for Norm Macdonald. Mm-hmm. And everything you guys did on SNL together.
Well, yeah.
And I was just in your music studio here, and that you have the means in which to do this, but would you ever consider doing a serious music album?
Oh, that's a good question, man. I kind of want to do a serious music movie one day about something to do with the record industry or being somebody that's on that side of the business. I don't know what it is yet. I have some ideas that I'm going to talk to some people about to jam on, but I don't know if I could sit right now and make a serious record and feel right about it. I don't know what would hold me back. Maybe it's because I've never written any full song that's worthwhile of hearing that it's serious. I when I was a kid, I wrote stuff and my brother used to write lyrics and we would jam, but I never was great at that stuff. But a movie about somebody like that, I would feel excited to do.
There's been a bunch of viral videos of you playing pickup ball over time.
Yes. The last few viral ones, just so you know, I was playing on a bad hip.
Oh. So you just want to put that for context.
I just so you know, that's why there was a lot of sluggy movement out there.
Would love to know if you've played... how many NBA players you've actually played with in some of those moments?
I played with a number of guys, mm-hmm. but I've never played with it where they were playing for real. They're always very kind.
Oh, okay.
To a very, very goofy man.
You're not going one-on-one with LeBron or anything?
I don't think one-on-one with anyone on a college level could I handle that. I'm like... The guy who gets put in maybe late in the high school game, I can handle playing him.
Cool. And last thing, I have some quick rapid fire questions. These are just meant to be fun. So first thing that comes to mind, recognizing, I'm going to give you this context. If it's not the real answer, it's fine that we know this is off the top of your head and it may change if you think about it over time.
Okay.
The movie that makes you laugh until you cry.
Well, I love Life is Beautiful. I remember that one. That really rocked me. That one.
Did you laugh until you cry?
Oh, you mean the funniest shit of all time.
Actually, that's my next question. So we got that answer.
Okay,
so,
okay, good.
See Cry? Life is Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that was just crying and laughing. Yeah. So, but the funniest movie when I was, I had a bunch. I can't put one on. When I put Airplane on, when I put Caddyshack on, I can't stop talking about it. I love every moment of that. Animal House. Pretty incredible, one of us, what it meant to me growing up, and laughing my ass off. But no, there's been a bunch of greats, and there's been a bunch of modern greats. It just so many, it's hard to pick which would be the one.
The actor that you would most want to work with today, but is no longer here.
That's a good question. I never even thought about that. Let's go with Paul Newman. Only just loved everything he did. His movies, so many cool movies, and the fact that he had some Jewish blood in him certainly made me just go, "Well, goodness gracious, that's a badass." And we can call him a Jew. That was exciting.
The role that you would have loved to play, whether you went out for it or not, that you feel like. Like that was mine, made for me.
Oh man, I mean, I like James Caan. I liked his stuff. I kind of like a lot of the movies James Caan did when I was young and first becoming an actor out here. I went, oh man, I wish I had something like that to do. Just one of those James Caan roles, Dustin roles, Pacino, that kind of stuff. I would get excited to be in a movie like that.
Last two, feel like hosting SNL anytime soon?
Yes. I've been talking to Lorne. It's funny, I was talking about doing it earlier in the season, but I had this hip thing, so I had to wait. But maybe second half of the season or next year or something like that.
Nice little Christmas special.
It's when I did it one time. It was such a nice week, such a good time being with everybody. My family was there. We all love to get to know the cast and be around. Lorne was nice again, and just being around the vibe. And yeah, by the way, when the show starts, it's just as nerve-wracking as it was when I was on the show. You're like, oh my God, it's happening. So let's try to do this right.
And last thing, SNL going into its 48th year, there's always that rumor mill that 50, that Lorne would call it quits and just be like, all right, we're done.
Yeah, right.
I don't like the sound of that at all, but yeah. Where do you see SNL today versus back in your day when you opened the joint?
Pretty special place. Gets cooler and cooler. I don't see it stopping. I don't see Lorne stopping. I don't know that rumor. I've heard it too. Why it's people are sure he's going to stop. He sounds to me like he ain't stopping. When I talk to him, he's still excited about it all. But I think where it is today is tremendous. Just a lot of great women, a lot of great youth on that show, and very, just on top of a lot of things. And they would certainly work hard at making the comedy that counts.
Got it. And you got a bunch of movies coming up in the future. I know you got Spaceman.
Yes.
And Netflix.
Yeah.
We talked about Murder Mystery 2. You were so not invited to my bat mitzvah.
Yes. That was great. Shot this summer.
When are you stepping into a director's chair, man?
I don't know if I belong there, man. I'll tell you why. I can't sit still. I start getting snappy when too many questions are coming my way. I'd rather see...
As we're sitting here right now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it's just on. I can't handle being settled an entire day, man. I need to run away and calm down, and I don't think I can handle it. I like being part of the process. I like being part of on decisions and stuff, but I also am very happy to walk away and let other people do stuff.
Yeah, you're the best, man. Listen, congratulations. Thank you for taking this time with me. Your office is amazing.
Thank you for schlepping over here.
Fix that hip, man.
The hip's getting there. Your arms are looking powerful.
That's you get your hips strong, I'll get my arms strong, and then we can ball. I'm not balling with NBA players.
And I go out and start fighting people. Yeah. That's what we
take over LA.
I'll bring the
Warriors. We do. Yeah. We do the Warriors.
Yeah, that was. That movie.
It's my jam.
I gotta say, I think The Warriors possibly was one of the biggest impacts on my youth and watching movies. That's that one, that was probably a five-timer that I said, let's go see The Warriors again.
So I love Sandler, man. Yeah. He knows good movies. That's Adam Sandler, star of Hustle, now streaming on Netflix. And that's it for this edition of the Variety Award Circuit podcast. Drew Griffith edited this episode and Michael Schneider is the producer. Be sure to subscribe to the Award Circuit podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Also, head on over to Variety.com and click on the Award Circuit tab to find the latest awards predictions and key races, as well as your daily fix of news, analysis, and reviews. For Jazz Tankay, Janelle Riley, and Michael Schneider, I'm Clayton Davis. We'll see you on the circuit.